All right. If you would turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 17, I will move through this part of it reasonably quick. I want to begin a process of talking to you about just that fullness of God's Spirit and in the way that it's supposed to look in our lives. I had another note here that I wanted to share with you just real quick. I feel like the Lord has challenged me these past several weeks to one thing we do almost consistently is we start talking about the Holy Spirit a little bit more at one point in the year. He's been defined in American culture as the forgotten God because he's in many respects, in many churches, he's virtually forgotten or ignored, very seldom talked about. I feel a real deep unction in my spirit that we need to walk a journey. It's going to take us a month or two, perhaps. And starting in the second week of March, I'm going to start doing with you on Sunday morning a brief video series that comes from George Woods, which is our General Secretary of the Assemblies of God. And he's talking specifically about living in the Spirit. And I just feel that so deeply that we have to talk about this subject a lot more. And I know what it looks like to serve the Lord for long periods of time and go through those wilderness experiences where you forget to even involve the Spirit of God within your own journey. And I want to get us back to that place. It's going to involve a lot from us, and I'm asking you to commit to several things, and that is as much as you possibly can, do not miss a service in March and April, because it's going to be an entire process, and it's going to involve Sunday school time as well. I'm going to teach Sunday school class, and it's going to begin this process in Sunday school, and we're going to take it right into the, we're preparing to have something for the children on this emphasis as well. And so I want you to just come and prepare yourself already for that journey. We're going to spend some time in prayer. We're going to spend some time in prayer and fasting. My encouragement is going to be for the family and the devotion that we're going to do things together. We're going to walk this journey out together. I think you'll really enjoy it. Now, one thing I do need from some of you is some of you have some absolutely spectacular testimonies of the fullness of the Spirit and what the Lord did in your life at that moment. And there is some of you, you hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit, and in some cases, you didn't even believe that there's a Holy Spirit. And some of you have just sweet testimonies. Now, some of those testimonies need to be kept between you and those that you share. But I think the Lord wants me to use one or two or three or whatever it ends up being of testimonies right here within our own body. So what I need you to do is be very sincere about this and pray about it, because I need a lot of you to just write down your testimony as brief as you can. Imagine it being in a 2 or 3 minute slot when you're writing it out. Okay? And then if you would get that to me in the office mailbox out here or hand it to us personally, I want to just kind of sort through all of that. And I just want to start. I believe the Word says, by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony, we will overcome. Your testimony is very important to be heard on this, particularly on this subject. Some of you have tremendous testimonies, even in terms of miraculous healings and stuff. And that's kind of a side issue, but I want those as well, okay? Because I want to just start compiling some of this information and know where you are. Joshua chapter 17, verse 14. The people of Joseph said to Joshua, "Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance? We are a numerous people, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly. That's the only part of this whole story I'm going to read to you this morning. But let me give you a little bit of a background just real quick. Many of you know the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt and going into the wilderness. And Joshua was the one that took over the leadership from Moses and took the people into the promised land. This is after the place of much conquer, and they were starting to divide the land among the people, which, in my opinion, would have been a daunting task anyways. To begin to just dell out the land of plenty to the people of God. So that was Joshua's role, to divide the land among them. But with all his godly wisdom, it seemed as if he could not please everyone. And let me read that verse to you again. The people of Joseph said to Joshua, "Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance?" After reading this again, I recognize a common spirit that kind of ekes its way into our spirits and our hearts. And if we would allow the Lord to just renew our minds and help us to understand that His kingdom is so magnificent and it's so uninhibited by the things of this world, but many are not interested in being a part of God's agenda. They always have their own agenda. I know none of us in this place are like that at all, are we? We never walk out life with just our own agenda. I want you to turn to a New Testament story, which in some minds doesn't even fit with the verse that I just read to you. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is kind of an interesting place to go for me because I realize that chapter 7 talks a lot about marriage. It's talking about also the single life, but being married, and if unbelieving husband is with a believing wife, what they're to do with that situation and vice versa. If an unbeliever doesn't want to live with a believer, it deals with that issue. It's dealing with being single. And Paul was stating to them, "I would have that you are all as I am, but I realize that not all of us have the same gifts. And if you feel you need to marry, then marry." And so there's a lot of this that just doesn't make any sense because he makes a statement to them. Basically, he's saying, at this time, if you're single, stay single. If you're married, stay married. And people struggle with just the interpretation of it. But let me tell you what he was talking about. In verse 26, he says, "Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are." Okay? Paul was simply talking to the crisis that was happening in the early church. There was persecution that was going on, and this fledgling idea of a kingdom beyond a kingdom was all fresh and new because people were looking for the Jerusalem kingdom to be established, and they were hoping that Christ was going to be that king. And now you know the rest of the story. Now you've got the Lord who is resurrected and the power of the Holy Spirit who's coming upon these people, and they're living out lives that are totally different than what they had known in the past. And so Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace but division," and some of that division was happening in their own households. That's what he's addressing, where a wife would come to know the Lord and she would give her heart to the Lord and the husband wouldn't, and it created conflict. You see, that was going on, and persecution was starting to come in. But one of the things that I want to pull out of all of this stuff that I just said to you is a couple different verses. One is verse 17. And look at what Paul says there. He said, "Nevertheless, each one of you should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him." And then if you look down at verse 19, about halfway through, "Keeping God's commandments is what counts, And then verse 20, each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. I am going to talk to you just briefly about this whole idea of contentment moving back into the hearts and the spirits of God's people. That we start trusting in a sovereign God within our own life situations. This room is filled with people that have regrets. I know it is. The problem is some of your regrets are creating paralysis. They are paralyzing you spiritually and emotionally. And some to the point where you cannot even get healing because you are so paralyzed by your circumstances and situations around you. I believe that Paul is speaking to a grander plan. He's speaking to a body of people that need to start recognizing that God has something so magnificent planned for his people that this world has nothing to offer us. But yet we want to hold on to it. How many of you are people pleasers? And you'll admit it. Yeah. It's a tough thing, isn't it? Do you know that you are attempting the impossible? You can't do it. Let me ask you another question. Is God a people pleaser? He's not, is he? Let me ask it different. Is God a people lover? You see the difference between the two? Because if it's God's goal in his providential power to please men, wouldn't you suggest that he's a big failure at that? Don't hesitate in answering that. I know you don't want to call God a failure. I know. But I'm saying if it's his real goal to please man. Here we have a story of Joshua. We see what God has done to bring these people to the promised land. We read the story. We see the spectacular presence that God has been in these people's lives. And now he's going to give them land. He's going to give them what they had not built. He's going to give them things they had not planted. He put them in a place by his design and by his intent. And their response is, why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for our inheritance? Yeah. So much conflict happens in the human spirit because we cannot believe in a sovereign providential God. So much is created in our own lives, in our own spirits, and we can't find ourselves living free in the moment of our lives. Yes, I know that many of you have made really, really stupid decisions. Really stupid decisions. And you feel like you have gotten yourself in a big mess. Okay. It's time for you to start believing in this magnificent God that we preach about all the time. Do we in fact find mankind everywhere dissatisfied with their portion? Contentment should be natural to those who are born of the Spirit. There should be just such a vitality of life that naturally comes to us in our portion in the place that God has us. And see, he played this out even to the depth of he's talking to slaves, and he's saying, if you find yourself as a slave, then remain as a slave. Live your life as a kingdom servant in that role, in that place, because it's not about you. I don't often do this. Could you say something with me here? It's not about me. That was painful, wasn't it? Let that echo through your heart and spirit. It's not about me. The beautiful thing is that God invites us into His kingdom, and I thank Him all the time. I say, thank you, God. You hear me pray this all the time. Thank you, God, that you have invited me into what you are doing. Everywhere you are doing things in people's hearts, and you have just simply invited me into what you're going to do anyways. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, the best advice I can give to each of you is that you should make the best of the portion that God has given you. Because what we find ourselves, we are quarreling with God, not with man. That's our problem. And that's what I'm talking in terms of Joshua. Their argument was not with Joshua. Their argument was with a sovereign God that did sovereign things providentially in their lives to bring them to a place where they could serve Him with all of their hearts, and yet they still had a complaint for Him. Like I said, what was given to Joseph's clan was God's decree to Joseph's clan. It was not Joshua's idea. And see, I think what's happening is as I get to know our Lord just a little bit better, I see how His glory just wants to shine upon the globe of the human experience. His glory, like right now, I know that it's God's desire that His creation be blessed by Him and that we join our hearts in fellowship with Him. But something happens. If we consider Christianity to be the equator of experience in life, you know the equator is where the sun's rays are at their peak, right? That's why there's so much warmth there. That's why so many people long to be there. Like today. Longing to be where it's warm, where you can feel the sun, S-O-N, on your face. I didn't misspell it. Longing to feel His radiant glory on us with a tropical force. But what happens is we spend our life at the North Pole of experience in life. We have things like discouragement and depression and an unforgiveness and fear and doubt and unbelief that saturate our spirits so much that we can't enjoy our portion. We can't enjoy our lives. We can't feel the radiance of God's heat on our souls because we have this North Pole experience that keeps our hearts so frozen. I used the words last week, frozen, chosen, you know. And then we have the audacity to stand in that place and complain to God that we do not feel the heat of His love. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. We have a sovereign God that has positioned Himself to be radiant in the human spirit. And the human spirit, by its own will remove itself from the process of His glory and move ourselves over to a frozen place of things that will suck the life out of us. And then, like I said, we have the audacity to stand in this place and accuse Him. And I see that with Israel over and over and over and over and over again. They kept doing the same experience. The one who refuses to go to the fire shouldn't complain that the room is cold. There is something that's real. And I'm telling you, what the church has anymore, what churches have, and maybe what Lapeer Assembly of God has is just a painting of a picture. You can carry a painting of a picture in the Arctic, right? How's that going to work out for you? Well, I'll just use my imagination. I'll just pretend that I'm warm because I'm looking at the flames. That's kind of the empty experience that the modern day church has with God. There's a theology, there's an idea of Him, but there's no experience that we have in the illumination of His glory within our own spirits. And I'm saying to you, as your portion, is it okay? Have you found that rest in the portion that the Lord has given you? Have you eaten from the table that the Lord has set before you? Have you eaten from what He has set before you? See, He did that even to Israel in the wilderness. He set the table before them with manna. And He said, this is the good moment. This is the good time. This is the good experience. Yes, I intentionally have you in the wilderness so that you will hunger for Me. And I will give you food that is food of angels is what the word tells us. And they went, what have you done for Me lately? It's so much easier if we just pick on history, right? Isn't it a lot easier if we pick on somebody else? Let's bring this whole thing to us today. Dan Berger needs to examine himself with the help of the Holy Spirit before God and say, where am I really in my Christian journey? How intimate am I really with the Holy Spirit? And how much have I really, am I living out my portion that He has offered to me? Have you accepted the ring which He prepared for your finger? Like the prodigal son. Have you worn the garment which He provided for your spiritual journey? All of us would just shake our heads if after the father of the prodigal son put the ring on his finger and put the robe on him and killed the fattened calf. Can you imagine? I want you to imagine for a minute that boy just stopping everything. Whoa, stop the music. Stop. Ho. Is this it? Is this all? Is this all, Dad? I've been out there in pig pens, and this is the best you can do? How does that make you feel? Don't you want to smack the kid? Wouldn't you want to take that prodigal and take him out behind the barn? And speak some things in truth to him. And just whoop on him for a little bit and say, where is your head? Where is your head, son? Do you not understand what your father has given to you? Do you not get your portion? Do you not get his invitation? Do you not give the life that he has offered to you that is apart from the world that you just came from? Hanging with the pigs, they were your friends before. And I'll bet they didn't even want to share with you. You come into your father's house and he shows the depth of his love. And don't you think that maybe it's time for the church to start being responsive in a big way to who God really is in our lives? To find ourselves in that place, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. That's what I'm saying to you. Can you say with a heart of continual praise that the Lord has blessed us abundantly? Three things real quick. I'm almost wanting to use the word, I want to command you. And I know some of you will go, you ain't going to command me to do nothing. Who do you think you are? I want to tell you, you got to be full of the Holy Spirit's wonder and amazement. Be full of holy wonder for God again. When's the last time you just went, wow, as it has to do with God? Jacob and I were talking about this the other day, and we were just talking about some of God's creation. And he was telling me some of the things that he had learned from different sources. And he talked about the woodpecker, and I don't know how it does it, but he said somehow it does something with its tongue inside of its head to cushion the blow. Boom, boom, boom. We were talking about those, you know, those sheep, those rams with the big curled horns. He was telling me that some of those rams get as much as 600 to 800 pounds. Have you ever seen them go like this? Boom. I'm thinking, talk about chiropractor. But they were designed. They were designed by a magnificent God. From the birds of the air to the lilies of the field, you just look at his fingerprint. It's everywhere. When is the last time you went, wow? When is the last time you were just absolutely enraptured by what he has done? The problem is we're blind again. We're blind. All we do is we look into a woods like right now, and all we see is brown and dead. That's all we see, and we don't see the life that's hidden under the snow. Our eyes are blind. We don't see what the Lord is doing in the secret place of lives and people. He's magnificent. Albert Einstein said, "He who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." It's true. From a newborn baby to being able to walk on a mountain, can you be at awe of God? The second thing is this. And can I use the word again? I want to command you. I like that. I like that. I want to command you to be full of holy gratitude. I know I've already talked about this, and I'm not going to read it. It's found in Luke 17. But remember the story of the 10 lepers? You remember that story? 10 of them. And they cried out to the Lord, "Jesus! Jesus!" What did he do? He gave them their lives back. How many of you know how many came back with a sense of deep gratitude and brokenness? Out of 10, 1. Is that the percentage? Is that what it looks like? Is that what it looks like? Is that what our hearts are like? That we are so surrounded by blessing that we assume from him that he must do these things. It's the mentality of our culture. It's called an entitlement spirit. It's, I am entitled to have people treat me a certain way. I'm entitled for certain things to be brought into my life. There was a time when the Lord rebuked me because I was driving down a bumpy road griping about it. I'm sorry for revealing my weak heart to you, because I know none of you guys do that kind of stuff. I was driving down a road fussing about the fact that it's bumpy and I had to swerve around a chuck hole or something. Are you serious, Dan Berger? You are messed up. But hey, I'm your pastor, though. That's the funny part about this whole thing. I might be really, really messed up, but at least I recognized what a fool I was. To have a sense of gratitude, and all of a sudden it was like this transformation happened in my heart. First of all, I wasn't walking. Right? I want to tell you a story. Some of you know who Matthew Henry is. You've heard of Matthew Henry commentaries, some of you? Okay. He had his wallet stolen one time. What would you do? Gripe? Would you fuss about it? Let me tell you what this man of God did. Somebody asked him about the situation. And his response was, let me be thankful. First, because he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my wallet, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much at all. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. I'm telling you, are we satisfied with our portion? Is there a deep sense of gratitude that is inside of our hearts? In ordinary lives, we hazardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give. Hello? Is anybody going to say amen to that? I said, in natural life, you gain a whole lot more than you give. You fuss about your taxes. I get the whole deal. But you know how much of that road out there your taxes have paid for? You can go, That's your portion. So, next time I hit a chuck hole, I'm coming to you, baby. And I'm going to say, why don't you get your spot fixed? Do you realize how much we've been given? Do you really understand that? I want you to see it in perspective to what you have given. And I'm not just talking about in society. I'm talking about life in general. Kids, you are overwhelmingly blessed. Moms and dads, we are beyond measure. We live in such opulence. Even the poor of American culture live in a high standard. But I want to take it to a spiritual reality. Oh God, how have you blessed me when in fact I haven't deserved it? The last one is this: be full of holy confidence in God. There's a widespread lack of confidence in Christ's sufficiency, I believe. God's word and experience tells you what to do, but we have no confidence anymore to live it out the way that we should. I look at people in our past in the word. I look at people, some of you, you found that confidence in the Lord to just live out your challenges, whatever they were. Some of you had amazing physical challenges. But there was something inside of you called faith, and it was a confidence that you had in the God you served. And it didn't matter what the circumstances looked like, and it didn't matter what the naysayers were saying. It didn't matter what anybody had, an opinion. It didn't matter because you knew the confidence you had in the God that you served. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you have had physical ailments that have just beaten you down, and it's wanted to take the spiritual life out of you. But instead, you had a confidence in a God who is the great physician. And you trusted in what he can do in the mind and the heart and the soul of anyone. Some of you have had tragic experiences in marital relationships and in relationship with others. But instead of folding, up like a ball, you have taken on a new sense of confidence in the one who is the beginning and the end. And you have decided that you will live for him. And guess what? He has proven himself to be faithful every time, doesn't he? He cannot be anything else but faithful. The problem is not with the Lord. The problem is that we have lost our confidence in a sovereign God. Are you happy with your portion? I'm not asking you to be content with your sin. That's not what this message is about. It's about understanding where life has brought you, in trusting that God in his sovereignty has let it happen. And this today is the place in which he has called you to be faithful unto him. Stop using it as an excuse to not serve him stronger. You should be using it as a reason to serve him stronger. Worship team, come on up. I think of the little lady that Christ used as a sermon example. I mean, in the Bible is full of those who took on confidence in the Lord. I love that story. Do you remember the story of the lady that gave her last little less than a penny is what the amount was, but Jesus told his disciples that she gave everything that she had. How does somebody do that? How does somebody do that? Confidence. In the secret place, she had a confidence in a God. She didn't seem like she was boastful about it. But I love the story. It's one of my favorite stories. I try to get this imagery in my head as I watch this little lady, and she's maybe in a line, and people are coming up and putting their offering in. And maybe there was a time when she maybe even looked around because, you know, the rich were putting in their offerings, and she just had this little thing in her hand, and it didn't mean much, and it wasn't going to change the society. It wasn't going to feed the hungry or build an orphanage. But I know in my spirit that there was something that was going on inside of her that most people never experience. They never experience it. It's a level of confidence in a sovereign God that is unwavering. And the spectacular part of the story is Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, calls over his disciples and explains the kingdom to them by using her example. Can we get back to that place? Can we? Will you? Will you determine a journey from this moment on that you will be satisfied with the Lord in your portion, where he has you right now, and you will use that as motivation to get you to a place of having confidence in a sovereign God? I'm telling you, some of your lives can be absolutely transformed in this moment. So what if you're struggling financially? You say, yeah, that's easy for you to say. No, I'm talking about this room is filled with testimony of those who have miracles that have happened in their lives because they trusted in the Lord. Where are you? Where are you? Look at, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You see God, you can't use him up, can you? How many, there's some of you that have, you've been given the kiss of death by ailments and stuff. Where are you? And the Lord was your portion. You knew you had confidence. Where are you? You know what I'm talking about. Your days were up, they were over, and that testimony was there, but you kept a confidence in a holy God. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. But you and I need to move back to that place. I think of the one that couldn't even have children, huh? Where is she now? I saw that shift happen in your hearts. You finally got a confidence in what God could do. And guess what? He does what he does best. That's the kind of Lord we serve.